God body is simple. It means you see God when you look in the mirror, and that the body of man is God, and that there's no mystery God in the sky. You are God.
Yo, welcome to the Anabolic Mind, powered by Winject Studios. Today, we got an awesome guest. And if you guys don't know, the Anabolic Mind is all about combining health, wealth, and wellness as an integrated whole. And with that, we got an incredible guest today, Tony Hillary. He's going to tell you all about his organization, how his life changed, how he used wellness to change his life in so many different aspects, financially, spiritually, and occupational wise. And that's why I thought he was such a great guest, because he really encompasses making a change in all of the pillars of wellness. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, my man, Tony Hillary. Peace, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. Long time, man. And what an intro, man. That intro was fire, man. I like that.
Hey, man. All love. Very sincere, man. From the heart, man. I always, I donated some time with the organization. I don't even know how many years ago.
Long time. Must have been 8 years. In the infancy, man. That was like 8, 9 years ago.
And man, it was such an incredible experience for me. And I always wanted to do more, but you know, time, and I started traveling and I moved out of the state, but it always stuck in my mind. I wanted to connect with you. So I'm so glad that you could be a guest. You know, thank you so much before we even get started, man. I really appreciate you being on.
Absolutely. My pleasure, brother.
Hey. All right. So we got all that out the way. Tell us about yourself. Where you're from, how you came up, and how you changed your life to wellness.
Man, you know, that's a good one, is that, you know, people see me, they see my organization, Harlem Grown, and everybody jumps right to assumptions, right? They assume I'm in Harlem or from Harlem, and neither. Actually, I was born in Wiesbaden, Germany. My dad was a major in the Air Force. He was a Tuskegee Airman.
Wow.
I'm one of eight kids. Who we all went to private school. We summered in Sag Harbor every year. I mean, we had a very privileged upper middle class upbringing. Mm-hmm. And real talk, I was the first in my family to drop out of high school and not go to college. So of course I was the black sheep of the family.
Right.
And made some horrible decisions, you know, started messing with drugs and alcohol. I'm sober now, 36 years.
Wow.
But the funny thing is, you know, with that background that I'm talking about, now in hindsight, I'm 62 and I'm playing that track back on my life. And all of that is like minor inconveniences of my life, right? Mm-hmm, but if you take that same life experience it and plop it down in Harlem or South Central or Detroit, they're not inconveniences. That's who you are. It's life defining, depending on where you are.
Right.
So I come from this privileged background, and you know, when you come from a good background, you can't fail. You're going to fail upwards in life. And you don't have to look far to see examples of that all around us, right? You can mess around and be president of the United States if you're born into the right situation.
Right,
you don't
have
to do nothing yourself.
You have to say that. You got to say that.
Right. So that was me. And that's how I met you, when I started my business and I'm making all this money. Mm-hmm, and dude, I was miserable, man. There's a high cost of making a lot of money. And in that, I was never home. You're supposed to go to work, do well to support your family. And you want to enjoy your family. You want time off for your wellness and yourself, right?
Right, right.
But that's not always the case. When you're in that grind, you're just trying to get that paper.
So you were experiencing, you were experiencing financial wellness, but you weren't experiencing occupational wellness.
I was dead.
And your social wellness was messed up because you were working so many hours.
Absolutely. Right. I was living in the car. I never saw my kids. I missed my kids' birthdays, their graduations. Thanksgiving and Christmas is prime time in my business. It was limousines, right?
That's how we connected, because, and I think we connected on that level because you with the limo business and me constantly touring with the artists, you know, I was constantly on the road,
and
different states, different countries, a lot of the times. And, you know, just that type of lifestyle and trying to maintain a relationship is challenging, to say the least.
It's very challenging. But we get so caught up in all the trappings of all of that, the new cars, the new clothes, right. the jewelry, the stars and all of that. You're in those universes. I mean, it's very fast, but it's not real and it's not sustainable. And I was very unhealthy. And I don't know, the financial crisis was a blessing in disguise for me. 2010, the bottom fell out for a lot of people, me included.
Yeah, me too.
The banks cut everybody's line of credit. It's impossible to do work. I'm sitting right where I'm sitting right now talking to you. And for some reason, I'm reading about schools, which I still laugh at because obviously I couldn't get out of school fast enough. I dropped out of high school, right?
right. But ironically,
all of a sudden, I'm reading about schools. Now, I have three children of my own. And because of my upbringing and because of my ability to, I had them all in private school as well. And, you know, it's easy. You pay, you get what you want. You know, it was easy.
But right.
I'm reading these stories about schools in the hood. And you couldn't convince me that they were true. We're in the richest city in the world. And you're telling me about this disparity in education. I mean, I live 20 minutes outside of Harlem. And even the public schools in my neighborhood are great. But you're going to tell me I'm reading these horror stories about schools 20 minutes from here? I just couldn't believe it. So one day fighting depression, because depression is real. The bottom fell out. So I'm not as busy. I'm losing clients and I'm sitting right here and I'm getting depressed. And I know depression is the kiss of death for anybody in recovery, either drugs or alcohol. That personal pity party, that's how you fall off, right?
Right.
So at the urging of my wife, she said, yo, you got to do something, man. I got on the subway and I got off on 135th and Lenox, and I'm walking up 135th and there was an elementary school right there and the kids were at recess. And that was the eureka moment. And I waddled into that school. Mm-hmm. And I say waddle because I was 52 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Wow.
And in addition, at 42, they put me on blood pressure medicine. At 43, they threw in Lipitor for cholesterol.
Wow.
And I was physically a mess, right? So now here I am physically, emotionally, and mentally all jacked up. And I wander into this school to help. And I put my air quotes up to help.
Right.
I didn't even understand what I was trying to do, right? But now here I am, this arrogant dude wandering into this school to teach people and to show people, right?
Right.
My original goal was to teach parents the importance of education to break the cycle of poverty. Brother, don't ask me where that came from. That's what I went in.
You just walked into school.
Yeah.
right. I hear you.
So after 3 weeks, this young parent looked at me and said, yo, man, why you keep stressing this education shit? I ain't got one and I'm doing great. That definition of great was a project apartment, Section 8, welfare and food stamp. So we always hear that term generational poverty, right? It's hard to really quantify a phrase, but that's it.
Right.
So what do you say to another person who you barely know? What do you say? No, you're not doing great, or you could do better. So I was speechless, man. I didn't even know how to respond. The words were stuck in my throat. So I didn't say anything, but I quit. I went home and I'm telling my wife about these wasted 3 weeks that you'll never get back. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell this story without the children. Because in those 3 weeks, man, and I tell this to everyone who listens, man, I have three adult children. They're adults now.
Right.
But 10 years ago, they weren't adults. When I come home, I'm a dick. I'm dad. My kids are like, oh, man, dad's home. Here we go, right?
Right. My kids too.
Yeah. But when you walk into these schools, you're bigger than Barack Obama. And you ain't giving them nothing. You're promising nothing. You just show up. And then they just swarm to you, Mr. Tony. And I'm like, oh, what is that?
Right.
And then I started asking questions and paying attention. And it turned out that 30% of the kids in that school were homeless, man. And yo, dude, homeless crazy. Children?
Yeah, that's crazy.
10 years ago, there were 62,000 homeless children in New York City. And that made my head explode because I know homeless. You see homeless everywhere, every day, but you never see children.
Right.
So what is a homeless child? What is that? Where are they? they're invisible. It's like a dirty little secret in New York, right? So now, all right, I'm grinding. I'm with these kids. And now you're like, it's
personal.
Wait,
hold on. But now you have occupational wellness, right? Because you're getting gratification.
Oh.
But you don't have the financial wellness.
Oh, no. No.
So we're just picking up. But how did that in turn affect your social wellness with your wife and your other relationships?
Oh.
Your occupational wellness. This is important for people to understand. You know, sometimes you have to sacrifice one for the other until you can pull it all together. So I just wanted to harp on that fact before you continue.
Absolutely. Night and day, because now things slow down, man, once you're doing something that you're passionate about, right? I mean, before you're running after things and money.
Right.
It's nonstop. If you make, I don't know, I'm going to say, you make 10,000, now you need 20,000.
Right. You know how we were doing it. Yeah. I was like,
right. It's never enough. So it's like a bottomless pit. Right. But now here I am. Things seem to just stop. I was on this like treadmill at 10, running after things, money, more clients, more cars. Everything was so rapid fire. You didn't even have a chance to enjoy it, but you were doing it. It was like autopilot. Right.
Yeah.
So now
if I knew, you know, back then, it's so crazy, you know, like a lot of these and I'm sure with you too, a lot of these movies that you see on TV, Biggie movie or this artist movie, like shit, I was actually there when that happened.
I was
there. Right, yeah, I was there. I was like, oh shit.
I was there
when that happened. And you don't even remember until you see it in the movie. I'm like, damn, man, that's how hard we was running back then.
That's right. You don't even enjoy it, but you don't even enjoy it. Like, right. So now I'm doing this and things just stop, right? Because I'm going to say, when I walked into that school, and I always say I was arrogant, because who am I to teach anybody? Who taught me? And I'm going to go teach somebody, right? I'm going to tell you who taught me, these children that I work with. Because in the beginning, you walk in there and you're like, wow, these poor little kids are homeless, right? Nah, man, they got what I want. They got the simplicity of it all, man. They love life. They love today. They love seeing you.
And they have that gratitude too.
Yo, dude, for real.
Yeah.
Right? And now here I come in and it just did a whole 180. Because as you know, I was the Prada suit wearing, Cartier watch wearing, all that stuff, man. Now it's jeans and a Harlem Grown t-shirt. Rocked over shoes and a Timex watch. And I'm just as happy as I've ever been in my life, man.
Wow. So, okay. So let's go to the Harlem Grown.
Mm-hmm.
What's the origin story? Cause it's like a superhero thing, right? So tell me about how that happened. Give me the origin story right now.
Man, when I waddled into that school and I saw firsthand the landscape, right? 14 homeless shelters in a 4-block radius of that first school, 9 of which are domestic violence shelters. So that's a whole nother level of trauma on these kids.
Wow.
Right? And then food. Now I'm working in the school and I'm in the lunchroom and you see firsthand the diet, right?
Right.
The diet is horrible. And kids don't eat vegetables. They can't even identify, no less name them. And now I'm sitting with them eating every day and I'm overweight. So one day I don't want peanut butter and jelly. So I go outside to look for something to eat. And I counted over 50 fast food restaurants in a 3-block radius, 29 pharmacies and not one affordable food option. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every hood in this country.
Yeah,
I'm not just talking about Harlem.
D.C. is the most food deserts, the nation's capital. And,
absolutely.
Then every other city in America, man. It's crazy.
Right. So how's a child going to function in a school? In a school with no art, no music, sometimes not even gym. Every kid goes to school for their nutrition as well as their reading, writing, arithmetic.
Not only are you getting a subpar education, but you're getting a subpar education, nutrient deficient, so you can't even absorb that information.
You can't focus.
And I just wanted to make, you can't focus at all. Please.
You can't focus.
Yeah.
And so kids find, and we always hear about the school-to-prison pipeline. That's another phrase we hear all the time.
And you have
come to my school.
You have behavioral difficulties that are really nutritional deficiencies that are not being
Absolutely. Addressed. It's all interwoven. It's all in the same quilt, man. It's all the same, right? So that's where I found myself. And then across the street from this school was a abandoned community garden. Mm-hmm. So I got that and I started cleaning it out. The kids watched me. They came and helped me. And then little girl looks at me and says, why don't we plant something? And that was the origins. I mean, we planted 400 seedlings and one for each kid. And the kids owned that plant. And wow. Once they started to leaf, you saw them nibbling it. The same kids who wouldn't even touch anything green, no less taste it. They started Amazing. Eating and saying, it's delicious.
And probably hadn't even ever even tasted
nothing. No, they wouldn't wow. taste it. You get it's like kryptonite to Superman. Give a kid a vegetable. They're like, oh no. So that was 10 years ago. And today we grow about 3 tons of organic produce. Everything we grow is free of charge. If you're in the community, yeah. you get free food, free recipe writing, nutrition education, cooking classes. And we're there with these kids. But more importantly, we only plant the fruits and vegetables, but we grow healthy children in sustainable communities because we hire the older siblings of these kids who are from the same background. And we pay their wages.
You're creating occupational and social Absolutely. Wellness. And you're creating Absolutely. Mental wellness because you're giving these kids a whole self-esteem. So, you know, guys, you know, not meaning to cut you off, Tony, but I just wanted to the listening audience, you know, this is a perfect example of someone who not just complained about the system, but actually infiltrated the system and affected change his life and impacted the life of others in a holistic manner by following and adhering to the pillars of wellness, whether you knew it or not, because they didn't have anything about pillars of wellness when we were coming up or taking time out. You know, this is just something that you really were pioneer 10 years ago in this type of endeavor, right?
Absolutely. There was nothing like it. But I don't want to lose sight on the whole child, the whole life, right? That's right. What you're touching on here. The anabolic mind is that although our farms are little patches of dirt surrounded by tenements on 3 sides, some of them barely get any sun. We grow 3 tons of food. Great. But we've created a safe place where these children come every day. It's always not for the chickens laying eggs or the composting that we're turning or the food that we're planting. It's for something that they find that resonates with them. It's a safe place where they come. And 10 years later, we have 19 children, first generation in 4-year universities through this program.
Wow, man.
Most of them, all of them coming through homelessness, all of them extreme poverty. Yet we keep their eyes on the prize and we keep them focused and we give them that support and mentorship to get them there. We have 2 kids in NYU do this program, wow. right? That's how you make this systemic change in a community like this. It's not giving them kale or carrots.
Right.
You got to
right.
give them the tools to get out. And we all know that's education. But going back to the world.
And nutrition, because you can't absorb Absolutely. The education Absolutely. Without actually having the nutrients for the proper brain function.
And yeah, so, when I say education, I say that in a broad sense.
Let's talk about what happened. The kids started eating the stuff that they planted at school lunches, right? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We can't bring the food in.
Okay. So they started eating it, though.
Yes, they started eating it.
Was a grade increase or improvement noticeable? Was there anything that you could say, you know, you really saw a clinical proof that the nutrients affected brain function? Out of curiosity.
Anecdotally, we say yes, but it's hard mm-hmm. for us because 42% of our kids in our program won't be here next year because of that transitional roller coaster right. that they're on.
It's hard to track.
It's on a track. But we do see, we have our biggest program is our 7-week summer camp. We have the same group of 50 to 60 kids for 7 weeks, Monday through Friday. And they come on Saturday and Sunday too. And you watch a kid come in, never tasted it or touched it, eating it by mid camp, craving it by the end of camp, asking their moms to go get this and that and the third.
Wow. So do you notice a physical change as well?
And an emotional change as well. Yes.
Wow. How so physically? What do you see?
physically, you get more energy. The kids are more energetic because, listen, we all know what the diets of these communities are. They're very high salt and sugar, right. You know, because it's cheap, mass-produced junk food. And the kids are, you know, they're crashing by 11 o'clock. They're coming in eating those Takis, and they washed it down with Pepsi by 9 o'clock. By 11 o'clock, they hit that wall, and you see that slump. But now we have a no junk food rule on our farms, so they can't eat that. And now you see them eating stevia for sugar, a natural sugar. Wow. They're eating mint. I mean, mixing in ice water, making their own iced tea, if you will.
Wow.
Everything right there on the farm. And nice. You can see the energy level sparking, the curiosity, the mind is sharper. And that's just the physical, but then also the mental. Because now as we're walking around their neighborhoods and we take them on tours, we go all around New York City. Mm-hmm. Now they're asking, how come we don't have these salad bars where we live? Right. How come we don't have this? How come, you know, they're asking these questions and we pose it right back to them. I don't know. Let's figure it out. So that becomes a whole new project that they're out there advocating for their own communities.
Right. Well, that's an interesting point you bring up, because a lot of it is these healthy companies not thinking we're a viable source for revenue. Like, we don't want to eat healthy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's a novice thing. And number two, which is I think even more important than that, is that a lot of the entrepreneurs who are Black and brown, they invest in businesses that are actually parasitic to the community. You know, like, we don't need another McDonald's, fam. Real talk. We don't need another Wingstop. I appreciate the entrepreneurial.
No.
And I'm not trying to name any names or get at anybody. You know, if you can make it out the hood and that's your vehicle, you know, respect. But once you get out of the hood and you got that money, why don't you take your next investment and actually do something organic or holistic or something that's not going to bring people's blood pressure up or make them insulin insensitive, you know, or cause a problem to their cholesterol levels. Put something out so you balance. It's all about balance, man. You should have fast food in the hood and you should have healthy stuff in the hood. You know, I'm not advocating for one or the other. You know what I'm saying? But
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
We need to take accountability on an entrepreneurial level, because when I hear about somebody who's already rich and you open 50 fast food restaurants in the hood, I'm like, damn, my man, you was already rich. You didn't have to open 50. You know, you're killing people right now. Like, real talk. Yeah. So we also have to take responsibility about, you know, about being parasitic in our own communities before we start pointing the fingers at everybody else.
Absolutely. And that was never more evident than what we just came through this pandemic last year, man. I mean, it was killing more Black and brown people at disproportionate rates. Why? Underlying health conditions, not the pandemic.
Pre-existing
conditions. High blood pressure, diabetes, and heart disease. All three diet related.
And the CDC, it recommends for that phytonutrients.
Yeah, absolutely.
to keep your immune system functioning. So you're 100% correct with what you're saying.
That's right. But we still, for the pursuit of that dollar, for the pursuit of those things that we opened up with, that was me, that was you.
That's
what we do. That's like an instant return on your investment. But I've got to tell you, I've been running around Harlem for the last 10 years, yelling at the top of my lungs, talking to these supermarket managers about, why don't you have healthy food? They said, listen, I'm a businessman. If people bought it, we would sell it. But we can't buy it and have it sit on the shelf for 3 days and throw it away. It's perishable. It has to go. So that's my other part of the job, is trying to create the demand from the bottom up. Because if you get 100 moms coming into that store and saying, hey, I want some organic kale or some chard or some this, they will get it. So I kind of get both perspectives. Mm-hmm. But to your point, there's nothing wrong with someone going into the neighborhood and creating a nice salad bar or buffet with healthy food instead of all this processed fast crap that's killing us. And I see both views, but both sides of that view is that people want to make money. So,
yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like, you know, I could easily take some money and open up a liquor store in the hood, and know I'm going to pop off, right? Real talk, right? I mean, but it'd be like, damn, Mark, you personal trainer,
yeah.
That's kind of crazy. You open up a liquor store. So, but everybody should feel that way if it's your community. You know what I mean? You could be like, yeah, okay, I could do that, but let me try to, you know, since I can afford it, let me try to do this.
Right.
You know?
Right. You know, and that's basically what I was saying about how nonprofits and well-intended individuals such as me, you parachute into a community to teach the people, to show the people. If you ever want to open your eyes, come into one of the neighborhoods and bring a whiteboard and make a square and give them a black marker and ask them to write in their idea of their community. 6-7 year old kid, blow your mind. Wow. There'll be 10 bodegas on that square. Liquor stores, beauty parlors, check cashing places, everything that they see every day, that's their definition of their community.
That's their reality, yeah. That's their paradigm.
That's their reality. So we're trying to change that through our interactions with these kids. We want to see them put in some healthier options. We want to see fruit stands and this and that. But it doesn't happen overnight because this is conditioned. This is how they were raised from infancy to 5 years old is when I get them.
Wow.
5 to 11 is my sweet spot because it's very hard to break bad habits. We know that. But it's very easy to instill healthy, good habits at the right
early.
Age.
Right. Exactly.
Early. 5 to 11, they'll try anything. They will take, you know, you give them something like this, they'll take it.
So what middle school? What do you see your company or your organization? What are you, nonprofit?
Yes.
Okay. What do you see your nonprofit, your 501c? In the next 5 to 10 years, and what's the status right now? How many people are you influencing right now? Let's give us your status. Well, let's get your status from 10 years ago when you first started. Let's get your current status, and let's get your future status.
Okay. My numbers are misleading, and I say that to say people ask the wrong questions from time to time. 10 years ago, I walked in, we grew 38 pounds of produce. 10 years later, we grow 3 tons of produce.
Damn.
We compost 35,000 pounds of food scraps and make our own fertilizer. We divert, oh God, thousands of gallons of rainwater for our crops. That's great. But people always ask me, how many kids do you reach? Instead of asking me, how many do we impact?
Right.
So we reach about 4,500 kids, but my impact might be 10% of that, maybe 15%, where you can call them my kids, that you got them there and you see this change. We host 6,000 volunteers a year. The numbers are real. I went from no money to a $3.5 million a year budget because 78 cents of every dollar goes directly to programming. We have no big overhead. Our office is in an old school in the classroom. All of our money goes to the community. And we have 27 full-time employees making fair wages, health care for everyone. My minimum wage at Harlem Grown, you start at $18 an hour with health care, walking in the door, and we promote from within.
That's what's up, man.
You can't, yo, dude, I came here with a different mindset. Before it was money and margins, right? Mm-hmm. You know your employees when they work for you. Yo, they say, yo, F you, pay me.
Right.
I'm like, okay, F you, or I'll find someone who will, you know? Come on, do the job. It's not that with people, it's not that. This is human beings, man.
Right.
I can't sit here telling you this whole wonderful story and not treat my people right. You know, you can't do that. We're in the most expensive city in the country. Minimum wage? You're going to get minimum work.
That's real, bro. That's real.
Major
respect. So massive respect, bro.
Yeah, so we're trying to change that whole narrative. And some of my kids' mothers work for us and work themselves off of welfare and food stamps with this job that they have for us.
So you're creating generational wealth.
Oh, absolutely.
Health and wellness. And that's what the Anabolic Mind is all about. You know, that integrated whole. And what do you have, because we're almost at the end, going to wrap up pretty soon. Thank you again for coming on. But to the entrepreneur or who is the person who's living an unhealthy lifestyle, but they're making money, they don't really see a way out. Their lifestyle is hard to get out of because, you know, they have all this stuff accumulated. They feel they have to keep up with, you know, you and I have been there and been through it. Like, what can you say to them, man? Like right now, just to, you know, to give them some type of perspective or motivation or inspiration to make those changes.
take a pause. Don't tell them to stop. Just take a pause. Take a moral, emotional inventory of yourself. Just check with yourself, right? Because when you're on that grind, you don't do that. We're on autopilot. You do things because we think we have to do it. Just pause. Just do a hard reset and just check with yourself. See what really lights you up. We're going to do work that we hate because of the reward. That's not healthy, man.
Yeah.
And that's not healthy. And another misconception is you sacrifice everything to do well for others. No, man. The nonprofit sector is very good, and we can change it. You just said about these young brothers coming back. They make some money, and they want to put that poison in the community. You can start a nonprofit and do good for others and still take care of the community, take care of yourself. It's just a matter of how you want to move forward with the rest of your life. Well, do you want to continue running and grinding, or you want to make a difference?
Yeah, I think the pandemic, that was very well said. I think the pandemic was a wake-up call for a lot of people. They were like, man, mm-hmm. I'm spending, United States has the longest work week of any country in the world.
Yeah.
Work more hours per week than any place in the world, the highest work week. And you're going to some place that you hate, and you're doing a job that you hate that's not benefiting mm-hmm. people at the same time. It's hard to be mentally well. It's hard to get the other pillars of wellness because you're spending so much time working.
Yeah, brother.
So if you can do something, that's why I always felt like I was so blessed, because I was actually doing something that was helping people and making money at the same time and kept myself in shape. That's why I always felt like it was such a blessing, no matter how much I was getting paid, because, man, I got the gratification from helping somebody mm-hmm. and I was able to keep my own fitness well because I was in the space,
right.
So just like you were saying, take a pause out and try to see what resonates with you. Right. Yep. As a person. And then slowly make changes, or because you kind of 360. So what would you suggest to someone? Just slowly make changes, or?
I say, listen, every day, everybody who's listening to you and who's not, every day someone wakes up, walks out of their house and says, damn, when is someone going to do something about that shit? Every day there's something that bothers someone. We are that someone. We are that someone. Stop waiting. Right. Take a pause, take that inventory, find out what lights you up, man. You don't have to sacrifice your self-joy to make a living. You really don't. I think it just takes us to just take that moment to really decide on what's important to me. What's important to me? And that's the other thing that's coming out of this pandemic. People are quitting jobs, man, in record numbers. You see,
that's right. Because it's not worth it, because people are going to these jobs that they hate, and they're not even getting paid properly. You know what I mean?
That's
you still have to make a living. The wellness space, the health and wellness space, I think is $46 trillion a year global.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space for people who are like-minded to resonate, to get together. If you want to donate, if you want to check Tony for a gig, how can they get at you, man? Tell us about your website, organization. Man. Give us all the stuff.
You just go on our website. It's harlemgrown.org. You can Google it, follow us on social media. Just type in Harlem Grown. We're the only thing that comes up. And if you're in the New York or tri-state area, stop by. If you really want a life check, stop by and meet a little person you've never seen before who will change your perspective on life. And what you thought was important, really not that important. So just come through. I mean, happened to you, Ma. You rode your bike up.
Yeah, man. I was touched, man. I was like, yo, I want to train the kids. Remember, I started going crazy, man. Let me know. I was like, yo, what's going on, man? Yeah. It definitely is a touching experience. You should go. Before I let you go, you didn't give the future projections yet. So I just wanted to get back to you on that one.
The future projections is really not up to me, right? I started this out by telling you my background. I'm not from Harlem, nor do I live in Harlem. But those 19 kids that I referenced who were in four-year universities, they'll be graduating college in 1, 2, and 3 years, respectfully. They're going to be making that decision because, in truth, they are Harlem grown. They're born and raised right there in Harlem. So they're going to be coming in, taking these director roles and supervisory roles in this organization that they helped build. Because in reality, I'm only the storyteller. They're the story.
Right.
So they're going to be making that decision.
Man, that's beautiful, man. Hey, thank you so much for being on, man. You know,
Oh man,
I really
my
appreciate
pleasure.
it. I haven't seen you in shit.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute, man. So it's good to see you. And when I next time I get to New York, I definitely want to, get in there, do something with the kids, get some working out in, and check in, bro. You know what I mean?
All right. And
So
I'll be, if you
definitely.
don't get here first, I'll be out there. I'm out there all the time. I'll look you up.
Yep. So guys, we're gonna close out, man. Just wanted to say peace and love. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Anabolic Mind, thank you, Tony, for being on. And guys, be inspired, man. You can change your life, and you don't have to sacrifice your financial wellness for your overall wellness because it's all integrated together. That's what the Anabolic Mind is all about. Tony, stay tuned. I'm gonna outro, and then you and I are gonna talk afterwards, man. Peace and
All
love,
right.
fam. Be well.
All right, brother.
Podcast is brought to you by Winject Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.